Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. I was here Friday from 1 to 2:30 my time. No, from 12 to 1:30 my time, which was 2 to 3:30 on the East Coast. But you know, it's so funny because it seems to me like I haven't been here in ages, and I know that's not true. Yet it seems true. So I think that's probably because Ron has been here, and maybe for the last couple of days, I've just been in a different space. Yeah, time with Ron is timeless, as Tuff says. So what I feel like doing is I feel like taking a little bit of transition time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song by Rasta. And I know often I let you guys type in numbers and I grab the CD and the song based on the numbers that are typed in. But today, I actually feel like hearing a very specific song. So I'm going to play the song that I feel like hearing. It's on volume 4 of Rasta's CDs, and it's song number 6. I think it's called My Destination, but it's a song really to Holy Spirit from, I'm going to say, my heart. Although the song came through Rasta, she wrote it down, she sang it. It's from my heart, maybe from your heart too. So why don't we start by listening to a little bit of Rasta as a transition, okay?
Here we go.
Destination, wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination on wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration. You are my meditation. You are the celebration of love I share. This world I travel used to frighten me. Where should I go? What should I do? How should I look and be? And then I opened the door within my mind, where I joyfully go, there's nothing to do, and I'm simply a light that shines. You are my destination, wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination, on wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration, my meditation. You are the celebration of love I share. For peace I have been searching in images outside. Someone to love, someone who was a better self than I. Then your spirit should be my holiness within. Perfect and bright, light of the Christ that has forever been. You are my destination, wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination, on wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration, you are my meditation. You are the celebration of love I share. I see you smiling in every form and face. Here, all around, there, up and down. Love, blessing, time, and space. I hear you calling in every gentle voice. Child, come home, you are my own. Remember and rejoice. You are my destination. Wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination. On wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration. You are my meditation. You are the celebration of love I share.
Perfect. Yeah, that's perfect. Good. So happy Sunday, everyone. It is really good to be here with all of you. We're here for Holy Spirit Guides. This is the time that we go and we're reading the messages that Holy Spirit has given to me to be helpful to me. And right now we are up to June 2006. I'm going to give you a link to the message that I will begin with tonight. It's a message called Summering with Jasmine. It's a sweet name. Summering with Jasmine.
My favorite part is Jasmine.
Jasmine says her favorite part is the Jasmine. So there's a link to Submarine with Jasmine from June 2006, which would have been 3.5 years ago. 3.5 years ago, wow. What I want to do, of course, before I look at the message, is I want to say a prayer. So if you all would join me, I would appreciate that. Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you for all that you have taught me. Most importantly, right now, I want to say thank you for teaching me to discern between Holy Spirit in my mind and ego in my mind. And thank you, most especially, for teaching me that I simply do not need to listen to ego. What a magnificent lesson. The gratitude for that lesson really cannot be expressed. I realize, Holy Spirit, that all of the problems we experience in the world come from the single mistake of listening to ego. And as we seem to be in a world where ego seems to be the default voice within the world, where in fact it seems that it just doesn't shut up, learning that it's okay just not to listen to it is a magnificent gift. Because all we need to do is look at the thought in the mind, recognize the thought as ego, and then dismiss it as meaningless. Or as I often say, as evidence that simply is not admitted into court. The opinion of the ego does not matter. It's irrelevant. And the freedom in knowing that, the freedom in being able to just dismiss those thoughts is, well, inexplicable. Holy Spirit, help me to become more refined, even better at distinguishing between ego and Holy Spirit within my mind, and help me to become even saner by choosing quicker and more assuredly not to listen to ego. Thank you. Amen. All right. So I gave you guys a link. I'll pop it out here again to a message called Submarine with Jasmine. And I'm just going to start reading the message. I think I do have an idea what this one is about, but like I said, it was 3.5 years ago, so in order to really capture the spirit of my frame of mind then, it's probably best to start by reading the message. Okay, so here we go. It says, over the past 9 months, okay, looks like this is just an explanation that I'm kind of writing to anyone who might be reading my blog, an explanation before the message, so that there's a bit of understanding where I'm coming from. So I said, over the past 9 months, I have had each day to myself while Jasmine, my 9-year-old daughter, was at school. This gave me plenty of time for meditation, writing with the Holy Spirit, teaching on Pal Talk, and discussing purpose with friends on the phone. Now it is summer. Jasmine is at home. It seems to be an adjustment for us both. She is bored and wants my attention. I feel distracted from the things I want to do. This morning I sat down with the Holy Spirit. I meditated for about 30 minutes. Then I felt guidance to open A Course in Miracles. I opened up to Chapter 20, Section 3. Sin is an adjustment. Really, that's a title in A Course in Miracles? I did not know. I guess I did. I've just forgotten. Okay, so Chapter 20, Section 3, Sin as an Adjustment. sin as an adjustment. As soon as I began reading, I knew this message was regarding my belief that I need to adjust to Jasmine being home all day. This sentence in particular jumped out at me. It is studied interference that makes it difficult for you to recognize your holy relationship for what it is. Interesting sentence. It is studied interference. Listen to that word. Actually, it's two words, but hyphenated as one word. I think it's a pretty cool word. Studied interference. It is studied interference that makes it difficult for you to recognize your holy relationship for what it is. I decided to go to the Holy Spirit with a question. But before I do, I don't remember that section in A Course in Miracles, and maybe later after I teach, just for the fun of it, I'll sit down and read chapter 20, section 3 again. But the words studied interference are jumping out at me because I'm thinking of the prayer, really. I'm thinking of the prayer that I just prayed a moment ago about, thank you, Holy Spirit, for the gift of knowing that I do not have to listen to ego. And I'm thinking, really, that's what ego kind of is for us, isn't it? Isn't it like studied interference? When we're giving it all of our attention and listening to everything it says and you know, totally believing every word, isn't that like studied interference? Interference with our truth? Interference with what we are? Like I said, I don't remember this section, and maybe I'm taking those two words out of context right now. I don't know for sure, but I think it's an interesting term, studied interference. So it is a blessing to know that we do not need to continue to study that interference, huh? That we can just, wow, Lori, long time no see. Wow, what are you doing here? Okay. So, yes, yeah, studied interference, the ego. All right, so let's go back. Let's see what my question is then. Again, the sentence that caught my attention says, it is studied interference that makes it difficult for you to recognize your holy relationship for what it is. Okay, here we go. So the question is, what is a holy relationship? And what would you share with me about the current circumstance in my relationship with Jasmine? I also just want to make a comment about the question. And I think what I want to point out, by the way, is how open the question is. As you know, I talk to a lot of people who seem to have problems, one problem or another, and often I find when people are asking for help, it's almost like the questions they ask are too specific. And in fact, A Course in Miracles talks about this too. I believe it's, what's that section about, the name of that section on decisions? Somebody else will know and they'll type it in, I'm sure. The section about decisions. But sometimes our questions are too specific, you know, because what we do is we define the problem. Rules for decision. Yeah, that's it, Barb. Thanks. The rules for decision section. Sometimes our questions are too specific because what we do is we define a problem. You know, like we may say, this person is always rude to me. What am I supposed to do with this person that is always rude to me? And we ask Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do with this person that is always rude to me? And sometimes we may not perceive that we get an answer. And the reason that we don't seem to get an answer is because our interpretation of the problem is a block to receiving Holy Spirit's answer. One of the best ways to ask Holy Spirit a question is to realize that we really don't know anything. We don't even know, quote, what the problem is. The only thing that we do know is that we're not at peace right now. And we may know that we're not at peace around a certain circumstance. So what's most helpful when we go to Holy Spirit is to be completely open as possible. And notice my question then. First of all, I'm saying, what is a holy relationship? And that, of course, is because of this sentence that jumped out and caught my attention. But then I'm also saying, what would you share with me about the current circumstance in my relationship with Jasmine? Notice how incredibly open that is. I'm not telling Holy Spirit, here's the problem. You know, Jasmine won't give me any time alone, and I need time alone. What am I to do? Notice I'm not defining the problem. It's very important when we go to Holy Spirit to be completely open. Or else our own idea of what the problem is and what the answer should be may be a block, most likely is a block to receiving the guidance that we seek. All right, hold on, I'm going to take a drink of water. So, what is a holy relationship, and what would you share with me about the current circumstance in my relationship with Jasmine? Here's the answer. You are learning who you are, and you are opening up to the acceptance of this fact. However, many of your thoughts are still focused on experience, as if the world is real and you are victim of it. When you focus your thoughts in this way, you continue to make a future like the past. You continue to believe as you have always believed within the experience of the world. Now that's pretty interesting, because you could say we have a problem definition here, although the word problem is not exactly right. We're going to be a little loose. You could say we have a problem definition here. And if I had gone to Holy Spirit with my problem definition, it would not have been the same as this problem definition. Again, my problem definition at the time might have been, Jasmine is not giving me the time I need to do the spiritual things I need to do, right? And I think I see Lisa Hansen asking for the post. Here you go, Lisa. There's the link to the post. All right, I can't see. You know, it's funny because I can't actually see all the comments on the board, but every now and then a comment jumps out at me, and those are the ones I respond to. I hope you don't think I'm consciously ignoring you if I don't respond to your comments, people. It's just that I only see some. Those are the ones I respond to. Anyway, so here we go. So if I had been defining the problem, I would have said again, maybe, you know, Jasmine's not giving me the time I need to do the spiritual things I need. But look at how Holy Spirit is defining the problem. It's a completely different problem definition. Holy Spirit is saying, I am still focused on my thoughts as if the world is real. I am still continuing to believe, as I have always believed, that I'm victim of the world. Notice how that's a completely different, quote, problem statement. And, you know, having, although, again, I'm using the word problem very loosely, because the truth is there's no such thing as a problem. But I think it's appropriate to use it this way here. If I have the wrong problem, I'm not going to understand the solution or the answer that Holy Spirit gives me. If I have no problem defined in my mind, other than I know I'm not at peace in this situation, you know, what can you tell me? And I allow Holy Spirit to define the problem, then I will also understand the solution or the answer that Holy Spirit gives for that problem. So it's really important that I don't define the problem. I really don't know enough to define the problem. When I think I'm defining the problem, I'm actually being foolish. It's much better that I simply recognize I'm not at peace, and I let Holy Spirit tell me, again, what's wrong, what's the cause of not being at peace, and then B, the answer, the solution, what to do about it. So here, the problem definition. Many of your thoughts are still focused on experience as if the world is real and you are a victim of it. That's the problem. When you focus your thoughts in this way, you continue to make a future like the past. You continue to believe, as you have always believed, within the experience of the world. The purpose of your experience within the world is to break free of your experience of the world. There's an interesting sentence. The purpose, of course, this is coming from Holy Spirit. The purpose of your experience within the world is to break free of your experience of the world. This is because the experience of the world is self-limiting, and your purpose is to realize that you are gloriously unlimited in your truth. When you use your mind to focus on the interference in your relationship, that is to say, when you use your mind to focus on the seeming conflict of wills, you teach the mind that will can be different. That is to teach the mind that it is guilty of separating itself from God by choosing a will that is different from God's. That is to teach the mind that it is guilty, and so the mind becomes afraid. A mind that is focused on conflict and fear believes in attack, and a mind that believes in attack cannot be at peace. So again, we're talking about a fairly simple situation here. I've had 9 months of all day, every day, all by myself at home, to meditate as I felt to meditate, to write with spirit as I felt to write, to read as I felt to read. And now all of a sudden I have a 9-year-old girl who wants attention. And my perception, my way of looking at that, is that she wants one thing, I want another. We have a conflict of wills, and I am victim of this conflict. I cannot be happy because this conflict exists. And what Holy Spirit is saying, if we look back up to the problem statement, that I am focusing on my thoughts as if the world is real, as if the world is real, as if my thoughts are real. And if I continue to believe as I have always believed, I'm going to continue to have this experience in the world. I'm going to continue to believe in conflict of wills. I'm going to continue to be fearful, feeling that I need to defend my will. I'm going to continue to feel attacked. I'm going to continue to believe in attack. To a point, the world is going to be a place of conflict for me. And if the world is a place of conflict for me, I cannot be at peace. And again, I'm doing it all to myself, Holy Spirit is saying, by where I'm choosing to focus my attention. And then Holy Spirit continues, as I have said before, this is why reversal is needed. And when Holy Spirit says that, Holy Spirit is referring to a single quiet thought that I was given in April of 2006. Many of you know this single quiet thought quite well. It's probably the most quoted single quiet thought. It's the thought that says, that it talks about what I think I see with see, meaning, perceive. What I think, that comes first. What I think I see. What I see I experience. What I experience, I think. And then that just continues. What I think I see, what I see I experience, what I experience I think. So if I think there's a conflict of wills and I think I am victim of this conflict, then when Jasmine gets up in the morning and wants whatever it is that she wants, I see, I perceive a conflict of wills, I feel victim to this conflict, what I perceive, I experience. All of these feelings of upset start to rise. I start to get upset with her. I feel like I can't do the things I, you know, feel like I want to do. And then I walk away thinking about that some more, this conflict of wills. And the cycle just continues. What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. What I experience, I think. And I'm in this trap. And when Holy Spirit first taught that cycle to me, he said, what you think, you see. What you see, you experience. What you experience, you think. And then, this is why reversal is needed. So Holy Spirit is referring back to that single quiet thought, because really this is the problem statement that we're looking at. The problem is continuing to believe as I have always believed. It's continuing that cycle of what I think, I see, what I see, I experience, what I experience, I think. And Holy Spirit is reminding me again, this is why reversal is needed. Because as long as I continue to choose to think in the way that I have always chosen to think, I will continue to have the same experience of conflict of wills. I cannot see differently if I am choosing to think in the way I have always thought. So Holy Spirit continues. Look at it this way. What you study within the mind becomes experience within awareness. And that's a good sentence, at least to me. It's worth writing down if anybody has pencil and paper nearby. I think this is a sentence worth writing down. What you study within the mind becomes experience within awareness. What you study within the mind becomes experience within awareness. Now, I may sit down and read A Course in Miracles for 30 minutes in the morning. I may say I study A Course in Miracles. But if I am spending 30 minutes a day on A Course in Miracles and spending the rest of the day thinking about my conflict over time with Jasmine, what am I truly studying in the mind? Am I studying the teachings of A Course in Miracles? Or am I studying conflict? What am I truly studying in the mind? And notice what the sentence says. What you study within the mind becomes experience within awareness. So if I spend my day studying my conflict with Jasmine, or anything else, that becomes my experience. And then Holy Spirit provides us with a question, which is the beginning of the correction, or the beginning of the solution, or the answer to this problem. Holy Spirit says, you must ask yourself, what would I study? Now this is a question that's very much like asking, what is it that I truly want? You see, what happens, and I know you guys know this, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I also know that you're probably as in need of a review as often as possible as I am. So let's go ahead and talk about what we already know, shall we? If I am not paying attention, consciously paying attention, you guys know as well as I do that I'm most likely studying the ego. Whenever I am not consciously, selectively, with chosen purpose, paying attention to my mind, I'm studying the ego. That is the default in the world. In order to not study the ego, I have to make a conscious choice to do something different. So yeah, I see people saying intention and attention, and then I see Kathy has said attention to intention. But yeah, that's really what Holy Spirit is doing with this question, what would I study? His Holy Spirit is waking us up to remember what we want. Holy Spirit continues, even within the world, you have options from which to choose that which you would study. Within your relationship, you may choose to study and focus on or think about interference and conflict. Or you may choose to study and focus on and think about the alignment that you experience together. The alignment or the harmony or the shared will. Holy Spirit continues, be honest with yourself. What have you been focusing on? What experience are you making? And I think we all know the answer to that one. I was focusing on the seeming conflict, right? The fact that she wanted one thing and I wanted another. And I was feeling victim of it. The Holy Spirit says, be honest with yourself. What have you been focusing on? What experience are you making? And then Holy Spirit continues, then ask yourself, what type of experience do I want? So I realize that I've been focusing on conflict. and focusing on being the victim of the conflict. Now I ask myself, is that the experience I want? Do I want an experience of conflict? Do I want an experience of being victim? You know, I don't have to be very smart to know the answer to that question. This isn't rocket science, as they say. I know I don't want the experience of conflict, and I know I don't want the experience of feeling like victim. And what Holy Spirit wants me to realize is the reason I'm having that experience is because of what I am studying in the mind, where I'm allowing my attention to be. And I need to understand that that is the problem. The problem is where I've been allowing my mind to be. And so the solution is a change of what I study in the mind, a change of where I focus my attention. Holy Spirit continues, if the experience you're having is out of alignment with the one that you want, you must change the way you think about it. A holy relationship is a fact when strictly defined. Holy relationship means that your relationship is whole, or that you are whole with that which you seem to experience relationship. It means you are one. This is a fact that is not changeable. Now I'm going to stop there because this reminds me of Ken Wapnick last week, last Saturday when we were out there with Ken. Ken talked about a holy relationship. And basically what Ken said is that we get the error in our mind that a holy relationship is between two people. Two people, me and this person here, are in a holy relationship together. Although I may be in a relationship with this person that is focused on purpose, a true holy relationship, and Holy Spirit is saying here that it's strictly defined, which really is what Ken Wapnick was saying as well. A holy relationship is being one with everything that I'm in relationship with. And literally, I'm in relationship with this microphone that I'm speaking into. I'm in relationship with all of you, with the entire world. So, the holy relationship is just a fact. I mean, it's just a fact. We are one. We are in holy relationship. We are in oneness. And notice Holy Spirit says, this is a fact that is not changeable. Then, Holy Spirit continues, within perception, a holy relationship is one that is used to teach this fact. So what Holy Spirit is doing with me is really giving me two definitions of holy relationship. One I would call a capital H, capital R. And it's the one Boris is referring to now when Boris says, I can't end my relationship. Absolutely. We can't end the capital H, capital R holy relationship. It's simply a fact. It is what we are. We're one. But it may be a little h, little r, holy relationship, is a relationship that is used to teach us this fact. In other words, just like if you read the Manual for Teachers in A Course in Miracles, Section 3, where it talks about the levels of learning, it talks about different types of relationships. It doesn't call them holy relationships. I don't remember the term it uses. Holy encounters, that's it. It talks about different types of holy encounters. You know, some of the holy encounters are brief, like, you know, you ride up in an elevator with someone. Some of the holy encounters are temporary. You may know someone for 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, but then you kind of lose touch. And some are lifelong from the time you meet. Holy encounters. Well, using the language of this Holy Spirit in this message, that would be a little h, little r, holy relationship. It's in perception. And the purpose of it, the purpose of every holy encounter, using the language of A Course in Miracles, is to teach us about the one true holy relationship with the capital H, capital R. The purpose of all perceived relationships is to teach us about the one true relationship. In fact, that's the only purpose of the world as far as Holy Spirit is concerned. So within perception, a holy relationship is one that is used to teach this fact. It is a relationship through which you have decided to learn your truth. And the best way to learn is through practice. Another interesting sentence. The best way to learn is through practice. In your relationship, practice in this way. Pay attention to what you study. Now again, he's not talking about necessarily the half hour we spend reading the Course in Miracles in the morning. He's talking about all through the day. When I think about this person that I'm in relationship with, this holy encounter, this level of learning as it is referred to in the Manual for Teachers, Section 3. When I'm thinking about this coworker, this boss, this significant other, this child, this friend, this person that's always in the room in pal talk, these people that are in my life. What am I thinking about them? What am I studying? Then he says, pay attention to what you study. Study that which is in alignment with your learning goal. Well, what that really means, if I find my mind is studying something else, like studying the appearance of a conflict of wills and feeling victim to that conflict of wills, I need to remember what I truly want. Do I want the experience of conflict? Do I want the experience of being victim to conflict? Or do I want to be freed of those perceptions? And then I need to remember how those perceptions come about. They come about through my choosing to think about them, to study them. And if the perception comes about through my thinking about it, then what I need to do is, out of a choice to be free, when those thoughts come up in my mind, I need to choose not to think those thoughts. So the way this works, I'm in an experience now, not now, but I'm, you know, projecting myself back into June 2006. Okay, so I'm in an experience now of feeling like I need more time to be with Spirit in the morning. I still need more time to sit and write with Him, to read what I'm guided to read, to meditate. And instead, I've got this 9-year-old girl waking up and wanting whatever it was she was wanting my attention, pulling me away from where I feel I need to be. And I feel victim to this. And I spine my mind thinking about it again. Then I stop. I mean, this is literally what I do. I stop. I remember that the reason I'm having this experience is because I've been choosing to think about it. And I take a deep breath. And out of faith and trust in Holy Spirit, I choose to let go of those thoughts. Because as Lisa Hansen is saying, I choose to be free. A few minutes later, they're back again. You guys know this, right? Now Jasmine and I never want the same thing. She's wanting this and this and this, and I need this and this and this, and my God, this summer's going to be hell. And then I recognize once again what I'm doing. Once again, I'm thinking those thoughts. Once again, I remember it is my thoughts that create my experience. I remember I want a different experience. So once again, I choose, out of willingness and trust in Holy Spirit, to put those thoughts aside. And then you guys know as well as I do, they come back. And then I do it again. And as long as the thoughts continue to come back, I, out of complete faith and trust, put them aside. And the only way that I'm able to do that is by believing Holy Spirit. You see, if we look back at the problem statement, I'm going to scroll back up to the problem statement again. Notice what Holy Spirit said the problem was. I'm reading the very first paragraph in this message. He says, you are learning who you are, and you are opening up to the acceptance of this fact. However, many of your thoughts are still focused on experience as if the world is real and you are a victim of it. All right? Many of your thoughts are still focused on experience as if the world is real and you are a victim of it. What that means is, if I believe that it is true, that it's just true, that Jasmine and I want different things, and I'm not ever going to be happy until she goes back to school.
Well, then.
Jasmine says, well then. If I believe that is true, that's going to make my experience. But the problem is, if I believe that's true, I don't realize that my thinking it is making the experience. I just believe that's a fact. And I just keep thinking about it and complaining about it, and I never get out of the experience, and it continues to prove itself to me. The problem statement was, many of your thoughts are still focused on experience as if the world is real. That's the problem statement. Many of your thoughts are still focused on experience as if the world is real, and you are a victim of it. The only solution to that problem statement is to realize that my experience comes from me. And that if I want my experience to change, as real as it seems, I must trust who I am more than my experience. Notice the first part of the first paragraph. You are learning who you are. That's where I need to focus. I need to focus on continuing to learn who I am. I need to continue to trust Holy Spirit that my experience is as it is because of how I've been thinking, because of what I've been believing. And I need to choose to change my mind even if that experience seems true, because I'm either believing the experience or I'm believing Holy Spirit. I'm either believing my experience or I'm believing Holy Spirit. And if I keep believing my experience, I stay stuck in the same problem statement. Many of your thoughts are still focused on experience as if the world is real and you are a victim of it. I'll never get out of that problem statement if I continue to believe my experience is true. So at some point, I must decide to trust Holy Spirit more than my own experience. If I don't ever make that decision, I'll never learn that what Holy Spirit is teaching is true. So I'm going to scroll back down here, find where I am. Okay, so near the bottom of the message again. In your relationship, practice in this way. Pay attention to what you study. Again, what I'm thinking about in my mind. And then choose instead to study that which is in alignment with your learning goal. Holy Spirit says, a shift will occur within the mind as you choose to learn that which you have set out to learn. As you choose to learn it, you shall learn it. As it is learned, conscious experience will shift to teach you that which you are learning. It is reinforcement offered to you by the universe, so you may continue to learn that which the universe as a whole has decided to learn. That's one heck of a statement. And I believe there's a very similar statement in the Manual for Teachers under the section on trust. That would be under section 4, the characteristics of God's teachers, and then the section on trust. There's a statement there that says something like, as we choose to trust, our decision to trust will be heavily reinforced. I don't remember the entire sentence, but I remember heavily reinforced is in there. I'm pretty sure those are the words. As we choose to trust, our decision to trust will be heavily reinforced. This is saying the exact same thing. As we choose to learn that what Holy Spirit is teaching is true, as we choose to put our experience aside and practice changing our mind, no matter what the experience is teaching, we practice changing our mind anyway. Holy Spirit says conscious experience will shift to teach you that which you are learning. It is reinforcement offered to you by the universe. Look at this. The universe is literally on our side as we choose to wake up. It is reinforcement offered to you by the universe so you may continue to learn that which the universe as a whole has decided to learn. As we choose to change our mind, the universe will shift our experience in order to heavily reinforce our decision to awaken. That's pretty amazing, don't you think? Okay, so that's the end of this particular message. I am going to go to another message because we still have more time. But before I do that, I am going to release the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share about the message we just looked at. So let me move the screen so I can let go of the mic. There you go.
This afternoon, I was like off center, and it's like, what the heck's up? It's like I prayed, and it's like I said affirmations, and I couldn't seem to shift myself. And you hit the nail right on the head with, it's what I focus on. If I focus on an issue in the future, or even an issue in the present, rather than the love of God, or the Holy Spirit, or my divine self, then I'm going to be lost. And thank you very much.
Thank you. And I noticed that Deb is asking, what happened with Jasmine? The truth is, I do not notice conflict in my relationship with Jasmine anymore. Just not at all. In fact, she just had 3 whole weeks off for Christmas. I think it was just fine. I've just somehow... I don't know how to explain it. Our lives just, they just have become one. It doesn't mean Jasmine doesn't ever give me a dirty look or something like that, because she does for very brief moments. But as far as like an ongoing conflict, it simply doesn't exist. All last summer she went with me on the road wherever I traveled. She went to all of the gatherings with me. Also, things show up at the gatherings to accommodate her without my planning or effort. We went to Texas, someone showed up to take her and some other kids to the beach for the day, showed up at Be the Love. There was another child there, and Jasmine hung out with that other child. And it's just all working now. That's it. Without any effort, it's just all working now. Even the fact that Danielle's here, Jasmine loves Danielle to death. So, it's funny because I didn't have to take special effort to make it so that there was no longer a seeming conflict of wills between me and Jasmine. It's just, it says Holy Spirit promised. As I quit focusing on that, the universe answered and things began to show up where our lives just fit together now in a pretty nice way. So that's what happened with Jasmine. Seems like I saw something else. Oh yeah, Dove said something that I wanted to echo. Dove said Jasmine is coming back to teaching here, and that's true. Actually, Jasmine was supposed to start last Friday, but Ron showed up and surprised us. He showed up on Thursday and just left today. So Jasmine and I took Friday afternoon off from teaching in order to go hang out with Ron. Mm-hmm. And she's going, hee. See, that's a part of our everything's fitting together. Ron shows up also a lot more than he used to. So... next Friday, assuming he doesn't show up again, what's happening next Friday is that Jasmine and I will start teaching together again. I will come on at 6 p.m. your time. I will come on at 6 p.m. your time on the East Coast, and I'm just going to read a book from 6 to 6:30. I may make some comments, but I plan on it being pretty light and not a heavy teaching. You know, it's the dinner hour. It's something that if you aren't with your family, if you tend to eat alone, you could just sit and eat and listen. It should be very relaxing. And then from 6:30 to 7 Eastern time, Jasmine will join me and we'll do half an hour of reading together, a book that is more suited for children or teenagers. Yeah. So we'll start that this coming Friday. And yeah, Lisa Hansen says, I think she's talking about Beaumont. That's right. It was Beaumont where Kim Hensley ended up taking Jasmine and some other kids down to Galveston for the day while we were at the Beaumont Unity. So, yeah. Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, and while we were in Wimberley, Kathy's talking about Wimberley, Texas. While we were in Wimberley, you're right, the year before, or 6 months before, someone took Jasmine out to a snake farm during part of the... Jeff, and she's trying to remember the names, but Corey's husband and Corey's daughter took Jasmine to the snake farm. So see how things are just showing up. It's working out. It's just working out. So that's wonderful. And okay, good. Well, tell you what then. I think we probably finished that one, so let me give you a link. Here's the link to the next message that we'll look at. And the name of this message is Discussion on Non-Duality. And it says, these questions were asked by a friend who has studied more than one spiritual path. So I don't remember right now who the friend was or what the questions were, but we'll go ahead and look at what questions my friend had and what answers Holy Spirit gave. Again, this is still from June 2006. Here's the first question. A Course in Miracles teaches non-duality using the symbols of duality. For example, it talks about the ego and the Holy Spirit. Some students are left feeling that the ego and the Holy Spirit are real and separate beings. What would you share that will help us look beyond these symbols to the content of the message within A Course in Miracles? So what I'm guessing now is that my friend had probably studied a path that had more, I'm going to call it more pure symbols, less dualistic symbols as a part of the teaching, and probably was a little confused about the dualistic symbols that are within A Course in Miracles. So let's listen to Holy Spirit's answer to my friend. The Course's purpose is to use the thinking mind to bring you to a point of willingness to put the thinking mind aside. Ah, that's interesting, don't you think? The Course's purpose is to use the thinking mind to bring you to a point of willingness to put the thinking mind aside. Its purpose is to bring you to a point of trust and reliance with the inner guide, so that the wisdom of the inner guide supersedes the thinking mind by choice within awareness. I'm going to read that sentence again. The Course's purpose is to use the thinking mind to bring you to a point of willingness to put the thinking mind aside. Its purpose is to bring you to a point of trust and reliance with the inner guide, so that the wisdom of the inner guide supersedes the thinking mind by choice within awareness. So there we go. Once upon a time, we totally trusted our thinking, right? And what the Course is teaching us to do is to become reliant on an inner guide, so that even if the thinking mind is saying yada, 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 we're just like not listening to the thinking mind and we're asking the inner guide, what would you have me do? And even if the thinking mind completely disagrees with the inner guide, we are learning to trust the inner guide. And again, as I said in my prayer, not listen to that thinking mind, not listen to that ego. Holy Spirit continues, a helpful way to think of the ego is to think of it as the thinking mind. Understanding the ego this way will help you to see it differently, so that it doesn't seem to be a character with a separate and distinct will. And it is true, all of us who have read A Course in Miracles know that sometimes the language of A Course in Miracles, again, it's purely symbolic language, actually, but sometimes it makes it sound like the ego is some being, you know, like when it says the ego wants to kill you. You know, it makes it sound like the ego is something real that we can be victim of. But that is really symbolic language to help us become familiar with the voice in our mind that is the ego. And if we pay any attention to that voice, it does want to kill us. It wants to kill who we are. It wants to tell us that we're unworthy instead of recognizing our glory. It wants to completely kill what we are and tell us that we're something else. But again, that's just thinking. It's not some separate character. It's just thinking. Thinking that we need to learn not to listen to. Just thoughts. It's nothing. It's nothing. So a helpful way to think of the ego is to think of it as the thinking mind. Understanding the ego this way will help you to see it differently, so that it doesn't seem to be a character with a separate and distinct will. A helpful way to think of the Holy Spirit is the knowing mind. It doesn't have to think because it knows. That's pretty cool, huh? It doesn't have to think. It doesn't have to look at a problem from all the different angles and think out all the different solutions. You know, the mind that looks at things from all the different angles is the thinking mind. When we just go within and ask, what am I to do? And there's just this knowing without all of that thinking it through, that's the Holy Spirit. And again, it's not a separate character. It's within us, right? It's not something out there that's telling us what to do. It is within us. So a helpful way to think of the Holy Spirit is the knowing mind. It doesn't have to think because it knows. It comes to you in an intuitive, knowing way without analyzing or judgment, and it provides answers that are most helpful to you. Neither the ego nor the Holy Spirit is separate from you. Both are within the mind. The ego is based on not knowing or fear, and the Holy Spirit remains completely connected to knowing, which is love. Okay, so here's the next question from my friend. At this stage of evolution, it seems like there are three so-called entities. One, the false or ego. Second, the knowing mind. And third, infinite consciousness, flashes of which make itself presence evident in the form of insights. Is this situation a part of the evolutionary process? And I think this might be similar to what, A Course in Miracles refers to in the original edition and the Ur text, when it talks about the two levels of subconscious, the ego and the Holy Spirit, and then the superconscious, right? Those would be the same types of talk that my friend is talking about here. You had the subconscious and then the subconscious that's below that. The higher subconscious is the ego. The lower subconscious is the Holy Spirit. And then the superconscious is where direct revelation from God would be possible. So he's saying, is this a situation of a part of the evolutionary process? Now, here's the answer. There isn't an evolutionary process in the ultimate sense. What is, is. It extends and it changes without change. That's an interesting sentence, don't you think? It extends and it changes without change. But it is not an evolutionary process, because that implies change that is change. The three entities are states of awareness. And this is funny, because if you were here on Friday or you listened to the recording from Friday's original edition study group, this is exactly, we talked about this exact same idea. We talked about the different states of awareness. What we talked about in the miracle principles was the state of awareness that was called man, the state of awareness that was called Jesus, and the state of awareness that was called God. Jesus talked about a vertical access, and he said he stood between us and God, because it would be too far for us to go from man to God. Too far. And we talked about how Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or man, Jesus, God, are not three separate beings or three separate entities, but three different awarenesses within the same one. And that's exactly what this is saying. The three entities are states of awareness. The two, known as the ego and the Holy Spirit, are within the mind called infinite consciousness. See, they're not outside of the mind of God. What's that line in A Course in Miracles that ideas leave not their source? Right? Ideas leave not their source. The ego nor the Holy Spirit, they cannot be outside of the mind of God. Ideas leave not their source. We want so much to separate ourselves from God. We want so much that we have so much difficulty accepting that oneness is truth. That ideas leave not their source. And there is only one source. And ideas could not have left that source. The three entities are states of awareness. The two, known as the ego and the Holy Spirit, are within the mind, called infinite consciousness. There are other thoughts within the mind of infinite consciousness, of which you are not aware. This is why it seems that infinite consciousness changes. Yet it does not change, because it always is that which it is. What we talked about on Friday was the fact that whether the state of mind was ego or man represented ego, or whether the state of mind was Holy Spirit or Jesus, because Jesus represented Holy Spirit, or whether the state of mind was God, which we call pure awareness. We talked about, regardless of the state of mind, there's one thing they all have in common. And that one thing is awareness. Awareness is always awareness. It never changes. It seems to change. It seems to change. But it does not change. What changes is what we're focusing on, what we're believing. That's why it's called the illusion. But the awareness that we are, or the existence that we are, or the life that we are, is always exactly what it is. And what NTI refers to God as is pure awareness. And in fact, NTI says that God is pure awareness, so that it looks on nothing false at all. In other words, it would be like the statement from A Course in Miracles that God is not aware of the illusion. It's pure awareness. And if we have a vertical access from man to Jesus to God, we're talking about a vertical access from ego or complete belief in the false, but still an awareness. To Jesus or Holy Spirit would be the next step up. If we're using only those three symbols, the next step up, which would be aware of the false, but totally knows it is false, but still in awareness. And then God would be the awareness that is only aware of that which is pure, is not even aware of the illusion or anything false at all, but still in awareness. The next question from my friend: as the ego mind continues on its chatter, simultaneously there is an awareness of the spontaneity of another current-like power arising and presenting itself as if it is independent of everything, which of course one knows it is. What is the best possible course of practice to sharpen the skill of being able to discern instantly and thus flow with the spontaneous, despite the ego-driven attraction? And when I taught about the inner Ramana last, I believe what I talked about is what my friend is talking about here. Looks like my friend was experiencing this before I was. I was simply copying down questions word for word. I remember I had no idea what my friend was talking about when I was taking these questions. I had no idea. My friend was beyond me at this point. But I talked about this in my last inner Ramana teaching, when I talked to you all about a seeming ego attack I had. But I told you that I was aware of three things going on in me at once, which at one time I would have only been aware of one. At one time I only would have been aware of the ego's fear, of the ego's story, and I would have totally believed it. But then there came a part of my mind that began to recognize the ego and deny it. And by deny it, I mean say, that's not true, that's false, I'm not listening to that. And then for a while, I would be aware of two parts of my mind during ego attack. I would be aware of what the ego was saying, but I would also be very aware of the part of my mind that was staying centered and saying no to the ego. Not true. That's not truth. I'm staying with truth, right? But what I told you about was the ego attack that I had over the holidays, where I was also aware of a third part of the mind. This part of the mind was beyond thought completely. This part of the mind, I called it isness. This part of the mind was totally unaffected by the fact that there was an ego attack going on. It wasn't the part of the mind that was denying the ego attack. It was just not even affected at all. It had nothing to do with it. And it seems like that's what my friend is talking about here, this current-like power arising and presenting itself as if it is independent of everything. And that's kind of how I experienced it. It is like a current-like power. I called it in my heart. I called it my heart. But there's an energy in my heart that's always the same, always at peace, always, you know, happiness, love, those are just words. But if you know this inner power that I'm talking about, then you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, that's fine too. You're just where I was when my friend was asking these questions, because I didn't know then either. But then he asked, you know, what is the best possible... Hold on one second. That's my friend Myron Jones. We'll call her later. He says, what is the best possible course of practice to sharpen the skill of being able to discern instantly and thus flow with the spontaneous despite the ego-driven attraction? So how, instead of focusing on the ego or even focusing on the level of mind that we might call Holy Spirit that sees the ego and denies it, how do we get to where we're totally focused on that part of the mind, that inner power that isn't aware of the illusion at all? Okay? And here's Holy Spirit's answer. He says, smile at the ego. It sounds like a bridge answer, a step. Because as Jesus told us in the original edition study group the other day, we can't go from man to God. We need Jesus, or we need Holy Spirit. We need that bridge. It's too far of a distance, Jesus said, to go from man to God. So we needed him in the middle. Or we need Holy Spirit in the middle. Smile at the ego is a Holy Spirit answer. But don't be afraid of the ego. Don't judge the ego. Smile at the ego. Holy Spirit says, the ego seems to have power over you when you fear it or struggle against it. Or yeah, as we just see on the board, what you resist persists. Binette again there. What you resist persists. The ego seems to have power over you when you fear it or struggle against it. These are thoughts that seem to make it real. You give it the power or seeming state of reality by reacting to it as if it is a force to be reckoned with, seeing the ego as a harmless distraction, a form of meaningless entertainment, like a television show that is within your awareness but does not capture your attention. Or for me, I would say like football. You know, football. Football was on yesterday for 2 hours. Ron was here, so football was on. And I just sat there and was, just within my own mind, you know, doing my own thing. I sat there next to him while he watched football, but I paid no attention to the football whatsoever. I didn't fight against the football. I wasn't into listening to or watching the football. It was a meaningless entertainment over on the side, like a television show that is within your awareness but does not capture your attention. This is the best way to relate with the ego. Imagine that. The best way to relate with the ego is to see it as meaningless. And that would be, you know, in our experience of separate bodies, that would mean not only the ego in my mind, but if a friend of mine, you know, should begin to start displaying ego. If I get all caught up and worried about my friend's ego, I'm still caught up and worried about the ego. The advice here is to see the ego as meaningless, a harmless distraction. This is the best way to relate with the ego. Remember that you are only looking at thoughts in a mind. That's it. You are only looking at thoughts in a mind. When you are detached from the thoughts, you see they are nothing. It is when you identify with them that the ego seems to be you. The ego is literally a curiosity, a what if. It is nothing. And so it can be observed and smiled at without identity, attachment, or the need to react. Imagine that. Imagine seeing the ego coming through your mind and you do nothing. You just don't react in any way. You just see it as completely meaningless. Holy Spirit says, when you do identify with the ego, you will react to it. This is when forgiveness is useful. Forgiveness is noticing that you have grabbed onto a thought, realizing that you want to release it, and then letting it go. It is reversing the error of attaching to a thought of unreality as if it were real. So forgiveness here is defined as reversing an error. So I see a thought in my mind, and for a second I believe it, and I feel a shudder of fear. And then I notice what I've done, and I choose to let it go. That's forgiveness. But if I never attach to the thought at all, if I just see it as completely meaningless, that's the practice that is being defined here as most helpful. And of course, sometimes, I'm sure you guys know, we can seem to do that easily. Sometimes we're going to have to practice forgiveness because we did attach to the thoughts. But as we practice forgiveness, we prepare ourselves next time to see those same type thoughts without attachment, or at least with a weaker attachment. Until one day those same thoughts are passing through our mind and we see them as nothing. And it's the seeing them as nothing, because that's literally what they are. That's what the ego is. It's the seeing them as nothing that's moving us closer and closer to being fully identified with that power within us that is completely unaware of the illusion, that is not affected in any way ever. And that is our target. That is where we're going. That is our goal. So I'm, of course, very grateful to Holy Spirit for this message. That is the end of the message. I only have a couple of minutes left. What I'll do again is just let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share. Okay, since no one's sharing, I'll just read whatever Teddy has written here. He says, personally, I have sort of come to understand that nothing can actually get in the way of my relationship with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and everything real, no matter what seems to be happening. And it, capital I, capital T, is always there. And I can find the Holy Spirit whenever I require. And He, capital H, capital E, and Jesus can find me and move space and time to have me pay attention. And then he says, and then there is an immediacy in the unfolding of the plan that is spectacular and consistent and constant. Thank you, Teddy. All right, so what I'm going to do then is let go of the mic. I'll be back on Wednesday morning for Awakenings, so I'll see some of you then. Have a wonderful evening. All right, goodbye.